Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Did you know the Bible mentions the subject of baptism over 100 times? Baptism, in one form or another, is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament. Since it's mentioned that much, baptism is a very important subject. And it's a subject that is often misunderstood in the religious world. Welcome to our series of lessons on the subject of baptism. Today we want to ask, who's a candidate to be baptized? What person is ready, really ready, to be baptized? Is anybody who just walks in off the street a candidate to be baptized? Is a murderer or a bank robber who has never thought about changing his life a good candidate to be baptized? What about just knowing the facts? Does someone who just knows the facts, does that make them a good candidate to be baptized? What does the Scripture say on this subject? Our aim is to do as Romans 4 verse 3 says, and ask the great question, what does the Scripture say? Like in the days of Jeremiah, we want to know, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37, verse 17. Friend, we want to discuss, first and foremost, who's a proper candidate, because it's true that sometimes people who are not good candidates have been baptized. I'll give you a few examples. Let's say there's maybe a younger child, and he saw an older brother or sister who was baptized go through the process, obey the gospel, and become a Christian, and he now begins to think, well, maybe I need to do that. Having never thought about it before, maybe really not even understanding the fullness of the gospel and comprehending the maturity that it takes, he's motivated to be baptized. Well, what about a group of young people? Maybe at camp, maybe at a youth rally. One young person, maybe, who needed to obey the gospel and who the gospel convicted his heart and he was ready, obeys the gospel, and then kind of in a domino effect, several others decide also, having never really given any forethought to it. Were they really ready to be baptized? Or what about a husband whose wife has been encouraging, who's been working on, and really not necessarily because of his own soul, but because he knows his wife really wants him to. He obeys the gospel. Was he really ready to obey the gospel? We want to notice first and foremost that sometimes people who aren't ready have obeyed or have tried to obey the gospel, be baptized for God's plan, but they really weren't ready. And so what does the Scripture say on this subject? First, there are some questions that a person needs to consider. Some of these questions relate to facts of the gospel, and some of these relate to show one's maturity and whether he's really ready. For example, does a person even understand what faith is? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins. Does the individual who wants to be baptized really understand faith? That it is a conviction based on evidence. Hebrews 11 verse 1. And that it comes from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Does the person who wants to be baptized really understand what baptism is? You know, in our world there's so much confusion on baptism. Some people think it's sprinkling. Some people think it's pouring. Some people think it's immersion. In our very next lesson, we're going to discuss what the Bible has to say on the mode of baptism, but does the individual who's being baptized really understand that? Do they understand what it means to repent? You know, a lot of people have misconceptions about repentance. Repentance isn't just sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, godly sorrow produces repentance. When I'm sorry, that leads me toward repentance, but sorrow in and of itself is not repentance. Maybe a young child realizes he hasn't done what mom and dad says, and he recognizes right from wrong, and he feels sorry, but not really sorry enough to repent. He keeps committing those actions over and over again. Well, that young person may not have matured enough to really understand Does the individual understand what baptism does? That it's not just getting in water, that it is actually when I come in contact with the blood of Jesus. Do they understand? Have you ever sinned? A lot of people don't have a correct concept about sin, or maybe haven't ever thought about sin in their own life, or maybe are not mature enough to. Why do you want to be baptized? Do you want to do it because somebody else did it? Because, you know, sometimes people do it out of peer pressure. Maybe because they want to lead prayer in church, or maybe because they want to wait on the Lord's Supper. Maybe they want to be like the rest of the congregation. Well, sometimes people are baptized for the wrong reasons. And then we might ask the individual, are you lost? Friend, unless a person understands that they are lost, that they will die in sin and go to hell, there's no need for that person to be baptized. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. All who are of an accountable age have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And because of that sin, one's been separated from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Unless a person understands, hey, I'm lost, and being lost means I'm going to be separated from God forever, that individual is not a candidate to be baptized. Does the individual know God's steps in salvation? Does he know that one needs to hear the Word of God? That he needs to believe in Jesus as God's Son, John 8:24? Does he fully understand, I've got to change my life and repent, that I've got to make the good confession, and that I must be baptized for the remission of sins? If a person doesn't know those, then he's not a candidate to be baptized. And so there are some questions that ought to be asked to indicate if one is ready to obey the gospel. Well, secondly then, we might ask, is he mature enough? That is, does he have the wisdom, the foresight, the ability to think ahead enough and comprehend the fullness of the gospel to the point where he's mature enough to be baptized? Some people, out of a lack of maturity, are not ready to be baptized, meaning they're still in a childlike state. Maybe someone who's too young. They're still in that child state. Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus said, do not permit the little children to come to me, let them come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. A child is safe in the arms of Jesus until he reaches that age of accountability. And those who don't have that maturity find themselves in that place. Maybe we could help them to see the maturity that is necessary by helping them to see what Christianity and becoming a Christian is likened unto. For example, in Romans chapter 7, the Bible teaches that my becoming a Christian is like unto a marriage. I'm married to Christ. That is, I'm in a relationship with Him. Now, we might ask someone, are you ready to be married? What about a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old child? Is he ready to be married? Of course not. He recognizes he's not ready to be married. He's not ready to go out and get a job and have kids and have a house of his own. He can't fully comprehend the seriousness and is not ready for that type of relationship. You know, just because someone may meet some of the qualifications doesn't mean that he's ready maturity-wise to meet the rest of them. For example, just because someone's hands can reach the steering wheel and his feet can reach the gas pedal, does that mean he's ready to drive? No, not at all. He doesn't have the maturity sometimes, the foresight to understand the consequences of getting behind the wheel of a car on a highway with other people. And you send a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy out there who, although he might grab the steering wheel and push the gas pedal, would you say he's ready to get out on the highway and drive a car? Well, I'll give you another example. Let's say that a young child understands maybe his parents have taught him how to shoot a gun, or maybe they've taught him how to kind of protect himself in some ways. Would you say the ability to hold a gun up and shoot it in the right direction means that child is mature enough now to enter the army? I wouldn't say that, would you? He's not ready. He's not ready for the seriousness of it. He's not ready for what it requires of him. He's not ready for making those type of decisions. He's still a child. He's not ready for that. Well, friends, when I become a Christian, I'm in the Lord's army. When I become a Christian, I am living the life God wants me to, and it is a very serious relationship. Maybe to help understand the maturity that needs to be there, needs to exist among someone who's going to be baptized, we might ask them, are you ready to die for the Lord? Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Jesus said, be faithful until death. When you become a Christian, that means you're going to be faithful to the Lord even if you have to give up your life. Are you ready to die for the Lord? Is a young child who's 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, are they ready for that type of serious commitment? Friend, if they're not, let's not push them into a stage that they're not ready for yet. Are you ready to be disfellowshipped? Did you know that 1 Corinthians 5 teaches those who do become children of God and willingly choose to go back and live in sin ought to be disfellowshipped from? Are you ready for that seriousness in your life if you leave the Lord and aren't faithful? Is the maturity level there to understand this is what will have to happen if you're not faithful to God? But now maybe even a more pertinent question. Are you really accountable? It's clear in the Scriptures that there is an age of accountability, and there are people who are accountable, and there are those who are not accountable. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. I want you to notice what Jesus here says about those who are safe. Those who are safe in the arms of Jesus and are not ready to obey the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 18 verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Here Jesus teaches us that children are safe. They're safe in the arms of Jesus. They're not accountable. They're not. Jesus is not saying these children are full of sin. No, Jesus is saying they're innocent, they're pure, they haven't reached that age of accountability yet. Now, I want you to see that from birth to a point in one's life where he is mature enough to realize what sin is, he's not accountable. Let me give you a good example from the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 28, we find an example of a king who God tells about his age of accountability. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 28, where God is speaking specifically to the king of an area known as Tyre. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28 verse 1, God is speaking to the prince or king of Tyre. Now, notice what God says to this man in Ezekiel 28 verse 15. The Scripture says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Now notice this adverb of time, until iniquity was found in you. And so, let's look at this man's life for just a second. From day one, from maybe even from the womb, when he was created perfect. Until iniquity was found in you. Until he reached a certain age, certain accountability level, where he was mature enough to understand, where he knew right and wrong, and he knew the consequences of that. That man, by God, was considered whole or perfect. You see, my friends, children who haven't reached that level, they're not accountable, but adults, we are accountable. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, we must all give an account of the things done in the body. Romans 14 verse 12, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Well, is this idea of an age of accountability, is that really something we find mentioned in Scripture? We've seen there are various levels of accountability, but does God teach us there's a time at which one is not accountable? Absolutely. Listen to Isaiah chapter 7, and I want you to notice what God says to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 16. The Scripture says concerning accountability, for before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that you dread shall be forsaken by both her kings. Now, listen again to what God said to Isaiah. There is a time at which, before a child knows to refuse evil and choose the good. Now, let's say that we're out in an area, and maybe it's an area where there are some snakes, maybe rattlesnakes, and you've got a little child. That child, he doesn't know not to reach over and touch that snake. Why? He doesn't understand that's dangerous, that's deadly. He doesn't see the consequences of that. There's a point at which before I really can comprehend and understand right and wrong and the consequences of my choices. And there's a time at which I realize that. Now, are we saying an age? That's not what we're trying to say. There's a maturity level. There's an understanding. There's maybe a little experience involved in that as well, but there is a definite point at which one's safe and one's not safe, and hopefully the things we're mentioning today will help one to understand that. Then we might ask another question. What do you know? It is essential that a person knows the right things. Let's just say that somebody comes in off the street and enters a building, maybe a church building, and they say to the individual in there, "I've heard you folks baptize people down here. I think I'd like to try that." Well, would you just take him back there and baptize him? Well, not necessarily. I might sit him down and say, "Okay, well, that's great that you want to do that, but Jesus said, you've got to know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. The Scripture says, do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And so we'd ask that individual, "What do you know?" Jesus said it's essential to be free from sin that you know the right things. What do you know? And so what kind of things does a person really need to know? Well, no doubt, a candidate for baptism needs to know that he's lost in sin. Remember Romans 3:23? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord are pure enough that they cannot or purer than to behold evil and look upon wickedness. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And the one who sins is separated from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and is in spiritual death. And so, do you realize, first of all, that you're lost in sin? Do you know sin causes one to be lost? Do you really understand the consequences of being lost? Do we realize people who are lost in sin are going to spend eternity in the fire and torment of hell with the devil forever if they don't change their ways? You know, I think people sometimes choose not to really think about that. Do I realize in sin that I will be lost forever with the devil in the most horrendous torment you can ever imagine? Read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There's a man who was. Revelation 21, 8. All sinners will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. I might ask a person, what do you know about God's plan of salvation? If they don't know, then I want to teach them. I want them to know. Because again, you've got to know the truth for the truth to set you free. We might ask a person, what do you know about the Lord's church? In Acts chapter 8, we learn that Philip went down and talked to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. We learn a little later in that chapter, he preached to them concerning things of the kingdom. Teaching someone about Christ, what do you know about Jesus? His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. What do you know about the church that the Lord Jesus Christ died and of which one is added to when he obeys the gospel? But then we need to ask another very important question to find out if a person is a candidate to be baptized. And that is, are you willing to repent? Will you really change your ways? You see, my friend, refusal to baptize someone over repentance is biblical. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Certain of the religious elite, and it kind of looks like in context, because everybody else is going out there to do it, certain of the religious elite go out to be baptized by John. And you know what John said to them? John said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he said, "Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." A person who's not willing to repent is not a candidate for baptism, because Peter said, "Repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And so we ask, what is repentance? Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Jesus gives us a perfect example. Father had two sons. He said to his first son, "Son, go work in my field today." The son said he would, never did. Then he said to his second son, "Son, go work in my field today." The son said he wouldn't. He thought about it, changed his mind, went back and worked in the father's field. Jesus said, which of those two did the will of the Father? Well, naturally, they said the one who said he wouldn't, changed his way of thinking, and then went and changed his way of acting by working in the Father's field. Repentance at its very root means to change. To change not only one's thinking, but to change one's actions as well. Acts 3, verse 19, we're told to repent and turn. It is a 180-degree turn from sin to God. Now, as I think about repentance and the need to repent, let me give you an example that maybe will help one to understand this. Let's say that we live in a town where there's a drunk in the town. And that man, maybe we've had a revival, maybe there's been a meeting, and he's heard about that. And there's some excitement. And so he says to himself, that sounds pretty exciting. I think I'll go down there and I think I'll get baptized. And so we sit the individual down and we say to him, now everybody knows in town that you don't live the best life and maybe you've been drinking and doing things that aren't right. And we say to that individual, it's great that you want to obey God and be baptized. Are you willing to repent? And he says, repent of what? And we say, that means you've got to stop drinking. And he says, well, wait a minute now. I want to be baptized, but I haven't said anything about quitting drinking yet. Would you baptize that individual? No, he's not ready. Until he fully makes up his mind, I'm going to do my best. That doesn't mean he's going to be perfect. We're not saying that. But he's got to come to realization. What I'm doing is not right. I've got to change the way I think about that to God's thinking. And then I've got to do my best to change my actions. That man is not ready to be baptized. And then a very serious question that needs to be asked of anyone who wants to be baptized. Have you counted the cost? Wouldn't you agree that anything that is really valuable has a certain amount of cost to that? If something's really worth something, doesn't it have a cost attached to it? Jesus taught us that about Christianity. Jesus taught us to count the cost of becoming a Christian. And I want you to hear Jesus' words. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus specifically deals with counting the cost. And notice what Jesus says in Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. The Bible says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus says, in becoming a child of mine, you've got to count the cost. And then he gives a couple of illustrations. The fellow's going to build a building. Doesn't he sit down with pen and paper and calculator and say, okay, do I have enough money to do this? Lest when he gets halfway through, he's got half the building up and he can't go any further? That'd kind of be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Or what king going out to war doesn't factor, am I able to win the war? He'd send a treaty of peace long before he did that. Jesus says, you've got to count the cost. Now, friend, think seriously about this. In becoming a Christian, I've got to ask myself, am I really ready to endure what this might cost me? When you say, what cost? What if your family is not a member of the church, has never obeyed the gospel? What if they're worldly people and they begin to make fun of you and they no longer want to hang around with you because you won't do some of the things they do. They don't like it because you don't talk like them or you won't participate in some of their actions and you're no longer really as important in the family. What about friends? Can you keep the same ungodly friends you had before after you become a Christian? No, you can't do that. You've got to cut some ties if they won't change their ways. What about the lifestyle you used to live? What about maybe relationships you've been in that aren't right, whether it be in a wrong marriage, whether it be maybe even involved in ungodly, immoral practices? Do you realize? Have you counted the cost of really doing that? And so, friend, this lesson today is designed to make one think. Am I really a candidate for baptism? If so, then we want to encourage you to obey the gospel, to become a Christian. If you're ready, you understand, you know you've got to hear God's word, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, make that good confession, and be baptized, and you understand the things we've talked about today, then, friend, we encourage you to become a child of God. However, if these things have made you consider, and maybe you've thought to yourself, you know, I need to do some studying, or maybe my maturity level isn't ready yet, or maybe I don't know the right things, and maybe even at this point I'm not accountable, especially if you're not accountable. We want you to know, friend, you're safe in the arms of Jesus, and at this point, while you need to be growing and studying and preparing, don't fret over whether you're going to die and go to hell if you're not accountable. Right now, you're safe, and thus, we encourage those who are ready to obey the gospel and those who are not accountable that right now their life is safe in the arms of Jesus. And so we hope today these things will encourage you to consider, am I ready to obey the gospel?